It's 4:30 on Downtown. Let's find out what's going on in the Boston sports scene as we welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Mr. Finn. Happy Monday to you.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Happy New Year, too. I haven't talked with you here in 2024.
Has it been that long? It feels like we've been in this year for about 2 months already.
Yeah. I get that feeling already. How did you guys make out? Did you get hit with the big snows yesterday?
Yeah, we got quite a bit. A little more this morning. It was there after last night. Maybe like 8.
Oof.
Not terrible. Light, but not too bad.
Wow. Well, winter's there. We haven't seen much of it. We got, I don't know, maybe an inch here, but more coming midweek, so maybe we'll get it the second go around.
Yeah, there you go. It's not going to stop now that it finally started, right?
No. Well, the season came to a merciful end for the Patriots yesterday. I don't know. It seemed like an oddly fitting way for this season to go down, and the slipping and sliding and the overall offensive ineptitude at Foxborough.
Yeah, did you see Ezekiel Elliott's quote after the game? I thought it was perfect. He said, I think it was Mark Daniels from Mass Live that reported this, but he said, you know, all my life I kind of dreamed of playing a game in the snow, and then when I finally did, it sort of sucked. Kind of wrapped up the whole day, but yeah, it was, you know, it was fitting, of course, because we think of the snowball is sort of the beginning of the Patriots dynasty in a lot of ways, you know, leading into that first Super Bowl. Fitting because it was a sloppy game, you know, Zappy almost throwing an interception right off the bat that probably would have been in pick six. It was just hard to watch. You felt like if they played, you know, 8 quarters, the Patriots weren't scoring an offensive touchdown. I think I might have told my boss, I don't know if I tweeted it, but I remember in our group chat we kind of do as we're preparing our angles as a game at I was thinking you know, they're going to need a defensive touchdown or two here to get on the board pretty early in the game, because it was clear the offense wasn't going to put any points up. So that's it's a big thing going into the offseason once they get this coach thing resolved, is figuring out how to get some skill players on this offense that can actually play.
So I have to think the decision has already been made. What are they waiting for? Is it simply to see how Bill wants to go out?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, none of us do, of course. But to me, just kind of connecting the dots about people's behavior over the years, and yeah, what we know about, you know, Robert Kraft. Obviously a great businessman. You have to be ruthless to have the success that he's had, but he's also sentimental and I think greatly appreciative of what Belichick's done for the Patriots. But Jonathan's not that way. And when I hear people in midseason saying the decision's already been made, I really felt like that was people that had talked to Jonathan, because he's not sentimental. He's got much more of an edge to him. And I think just kind of hear through the grapevine, he would have been all right moving on with Belichick before the season. So I don't know if he's convinced his father to make a move, but I feel like that's probably what has to happen, and that maybe Robert's hedging a little bit, whereas Jonathan is not.
Well, if indeed it happens, who's up next? We heard Gerard Mayo a lot, and now all kinds of new names cropping up. Brian Flores being mentioned as a possibility. Mike Vrabel. What direction do you think they'll go in?
Let's bring Pete Carroll back.
Oh, God, yes. Good idea. Yes.
God, I couldn't stand him when he was here. I hate the revisionist history with him about all the talent. That team got worse every year he was here, even though Parcells left a pretty loaded cupboard for him. But, I think those are interesting names. I feel like with Vrabel, he's had success in Tennessee, but I feel like a lot of what's driving the appeal for him here is just that he was such a well-liked player and such a great player in the first part of the dynasty. And I don't know if he's exactly the right guy to succeed Belichick. Some pretty boring Tennessee teams he's had through the years, and it's had a hard time getting along with his general managers. He's a great guy, but a very he doesn't pull any punches. I think everybody'd be happy if he ended up being the guy here. I probably have a few more reservations about how long it would last than a lot of people do. Flores, really interesting name. I think You heard a lot of praise from Mayo late in the season from respected Patriots like Dietrich Wise. If they went in that direction and brought in a coach who could really run the offense, presuming Billy O'Brien doesn't stick around, I think that would be a decent option too. I don't think they have bad options. I'm pro Bill, and to hear him say today that essentially say that he'd be willing to go up last say powers in the front office, that's enough for me. If he's really willing to do that, I'd love to for him to still be the coach of this team. But I feel like at this point, it's unlikely, and I'm probably in the minority with that anyway.
So are there teams that would want him? Will he have perhaps his choice? I know Atlanta's opening up. I don't see him going to a team that needs to rebuild, but in today's National Football League, you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's some penthouses that are outhouses are going to stay outhouses. The Carolina is in deep trouble with that owner. They probably picked the wrong quarterback this year. I'd hate to write off Bryce Young after a year because he seems like a really great leader, but he's tiny, and they don't have anything around him. People say Carolina for Belichick, that would shock me. He's trying to win games here, not build a program right for somebody else. Chargers? Justin Herbert's appealing, but they have cap issues. They have no fan base. Maybe that appeals to Bill. I don't know. But that's not as great a situation as it looks initially. And they've never paid a coach either. I'm watching teams that maybe flame out in the playoffs.
Right. What about Dallas if they go belly up in the postseason as they usually do?
That's what I thought all along. Yeah, I thought that all along. It's ready made. I think him and Jerry Jones could get along for a year or two. Jimmy Johnson appearing to be in good graces with Jerry Jones and going up on their Wall of Fame or Ring of Honor or whatever they call it. Well, Jimmy Johnson's really tight with Belichick, and he's always had Belichick's back, and I think that he might actually give a good recommendation for that for a couple of years. I keep an eye on Philly, man. That's falling apart.
Mm.
Who knows where Nick Sirianni's standing is at this point? It's been an epic collapse, even though people are still picking them a win on the road in their first playoff game.
Well, as the Patriots try and rebuild with whoever's at the helm next year, you've got a solid defense to start with, so there are certainly some things to build on there. Can they do it with one really good draft pick? I would think they need more than that.
Yeah, I mean the draft has to be dedicated to the offense, and it doesn't even matter what position you're talking about, wide receiver, quarterback, tackle. I guess you don't really need to draft guards in the first round again, and you can assume that Ramondre Stevenson, or you can find other running backs to sign, and they have money to spend in free agency too, so they'll get help that way. But I just thought it was odd this year. And I took Christian Gonzalez, I took Keon White in the second round. The third round might have been a good place to get a tackle or a receiver who might help, and they took Marte Mapp, who's interesting player, but he's a backup. He's maybe Duggar's successor, but he's a project. I think that not the player was the mistake, the decision was the mistake, and they can't do this year. They got to spend their resources, no matter who's coaching this team, on the offense. This is a modern NFL. You can't get by with an offense out of 1993 anymore.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Well, the Celtics team, every time they have a little setback and you think, okay, here we go, they reel off 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. This sure looks like a championship team.
It does. Just stay healthy. I talk about this to my daughter and wife watch the games all the time now. I'm always suddenly a huge NBA fan. And this team is winning games that they wouldn't have won last year. They play badly. They blow a lead in the third quarter, those sort of things. They usually pull them out still. They put it together at the end. And I guess I loved Marcus Smart, but taking his chaos out of the lineup has really made them a better team late in games. Part of that's obviously Porzingis. Part of it's Jaylen Brown trying to play the right way, Tatum being just a great player, Drew Holiday, Derek White making all the right decisions. But Marcus's shot selection was an issue, and I think these guys, Tatum and Brown, have more trust in their current teammates that the ball will get back to them if they share it. And it's resulting in a team that looks really connected, and it's they're a joy to watch every night. I look forward to watching their game every day they play, because they're so fun to watch right now.
Yeah, and I love Brown and Tatum, but there's nobody I enjoy seeing on the court more than Derek White right now.
Yeah, he just does everything right. I mean, it's funny, because if you follow his dad on Twitter, you see where it comes from. Because he's really smart basketball observations all the time. But Derek White is a Spurs product. And I remember when Matt Bonner was on the broadcast earlier this year with Scal and I think Drew Carter, he talked about how with the Spurs, you get rid of the ball in a half a second. I'm thinking, Jalen doesn't do that. Tatum doesn't do that. But then you watch Derek White, he makes really quick. I'm going to swing it. I'm going to attack. Is no dribble, dribble, dribble. Look around, and then move the ball. There's a flow, and that's the way the Parker Ginobili Duncan Spurs played, and he learned that from Popovich, and having an effect here. And the other thing, Drew Holiday, he just does anything they ask him to. I know he's been inconsistent shooting, but he'll for a guy who's accomplished, who's been in the league as long as he is, he's willing to handle any role for this team, and it's really fun to watch somebody just acclimate himself and buy in the way that he has.
No big pickups for the Red Sox in the last few days because everybody's signing with the Dodgers, but interesting news that you reported in yesterday's Globe, and that's that the Red Sox are out looking for more people to be part of the radio broadcast. Geez, do they need a 60-something guy? Would I fit in well there with Castig?
There may be openings, Rich. I don't know if they're going to go back to the 2019 model or is it every homestand. It felt like that was awful, just looking back on it. But I mentioned in that column that Odyssey, their parent company that owns WBI, is going to file for bankruptcy soon. Well, they did. It happened today or yesterday, which throws all sorts of things into whack and out of whack. And one of them is the rights deal with the Red Sox, which extends through 2028, but if Odyssey is in deep trouble, it could be the Red Sox that just take over their own radio rights. And so it's all kind of woven in together and kind of complicated, but because they were having the financial situation, it appears that they lowballed Will Fleming with a one-year contract with no stability. Just for the 2024 season. And so I know Will has been looking around at other jobs. He's not out from this broadcast, but I think they've kind of left it up whether he's going to come back, and they don't know. So they posted this job. They do need bench help. Sean McDonough is not sure if he's going to be doing it again. He might be. He's negotiating now. Lou's going to do more games, but they still have a lot of games to fill whether or not Will is back. And if Will's not back, you lose the guy who's probably called more games than anybody else over the last couple of seasons. So it's a big thing and kind of a surprising one.
Yeah, and as you pointed out in your piece yesterday, he's got a really nice chemistry with Joe.
He does. Joe, it's pure respect. Joe really likes him, and he kind of eggs Joe on in an amusing way to talk about the things Joe likes to talk about. He's good-natured needling him. I've heard from people that don't like Will. I think he sounds NPR-ish or whatever, but I like him, and I think it would be a bad thing if the Red Sox only have an entirely new radio voice here for 2024, because they only want to give the guy they have, who's done a great job for them, a one-year deal for financial reasons.
And how much longer is Joe going to continue to do this?
Yeah, he said he didn't really say anything. Anything concrete when he had a conference call with us after he got the Ford C. Frick Award, found out he was getting that. He's kind of taking it year by year. He still has time left on his contract, but it's not going to be too much longer. Last year, he cut back to home games and calling games in his favorite cities, and he might cut back even a little bit more this year. So he's going to do at least half the games, maybe around 100, but retirement is not that far away for him.
Man. Well, I like Will Fleming. I also like NPR, so what do I know?
Me too, man. I don't know how that's an insult, but people don't like it from their baseball broadcast.
In some quarters, I get it. I know who those people are. Chad, thank you as always, my friend. Hope the rest of your week goes well, and we'll check in with you again soon.
All right, Rich. Take care.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.